Welcome to Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and we're right on time, according to my cell phone here that I use for my timer. This is Char Rogers, and Denny Rogers is on the line also. And we are filling in for our son Vance this morning. Thank you all for joining us this morning on this drippy wet weather in Portland, Oregon here for a few minutes anyway. It's supposed to turn nice. And we have special guest speakers, and the lady, Pam Barnes, is a person that we met several years ago in Mazatlan, Mexico. And we became good friends, although we haven't kept in very good contact lately. But I really value our relationship and our friendship. And so I'm going to have Pam introduce her partner. Pam, it's great to have you on the line this morning.
Well, thank you, Char. I'm feel honored and pleased to be able to share my story, but more importantly, our story, because as everybody has a great story in me, Ken, that's what makes us such a good family, is to help one another. So I hope what Ron and I will share with you today will impact you to talk me, Ken, more often and earn more dollars than me, Ken. So it's a double-double. I was a dental hygienist and have been for 35 years, and Ron, I'll get into, he has quite an extensive background and qualifications, and so I always say I have the health part and he has the wealth part since he's the CPA of the family.
Well, that's great, and what I'd like to hear from you at the beginning here is kind of where you were introduced to NECAN, how you came in at the very, I don't even know what year that was.
Well, actually, it was 13 and a half years ago. So I really can't wait till I'm at 14, because, you know, every 7 years you become a new you. All your cells are replaced, so that means twice that I've replaced myself, and that makes me feel really good. Because I lived in I called it a jail of pain and fatigue for about 8 years before I found NECAN. And what actually did it for me is that I attended a continuing education course for dental hygiene. You know, we have to do them, but I'm one of those people that I enjoy going to them. And this one was called Stress in the Dental Office. And I worked in a very high-stress dental office, one of the top ones in Louisville at the time. I loved it. I guess I thought I lived on stress, you know, breathed it, everything. I loved it, I thought. Now that it's not that way, I realize that it wasn't a good thing. But so I thought, well, this will be great because I can apply it into the practice. Well, it was all about the stress on our bodies. And my body had taken a toll from being a hygienist. I'm more of a preventive hygienist and a periodontal therapist. So in any office I worked, everybody said, oh, give the worst people to Pam because she's the one that knows how to get them straightened up. So that was just more stress and strain on my neck and my shoulders and my back.
A big challenge there for you.
Yes, it was. It was. But it's also rewarding to see the changes that you made in people's mouths and their smiles. Little did I know that that was my stepping stone to help people further, to help them in their entire bodies. And I'm glad to do that. And all these years, I still can't stop talking about NECAN and what it offers. It's why we're all on the call.
You're probably one of those people that would do it even if we didn't get paid for it. Am I right?
You're exactly right, Char.
That's the real dedication.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just nice to be compensated for that. But yes, I would talk about it. I had numb hands. I had already been through one set of carpal tunnel surgeries, and the problem had reoccurred. I had a headache all the time. I felt like I was walking on sharp rocks constantly. I was always tired. Everybody said, well, Pam, you had so much energy, you never sit down. And I laughed because if I did sit down, I would have been asleep. So it's just best not to sit down.
You know, there's one thing that comes to mind when you started. I'm curious. Did you start out with what we now call a total wellness home? Or see, actually, we wouldn't have probably had the whole thing then.
Right. Well, what I started out with was a wrist wrap, a far infrared wrist wrap with two minis into it and a pair of shoe inserts, because it just made sense to me. If my hand's working better, it'll take the stress off my body. If I can walk better, it's going to help my back, you know. So I put those two in. And actually, when I left, it was the second meeting that I had gotten products. The first one was for hygienists. The next one I went to was a wellness preview. And I could tell going to the car that I was something was changing. And okay, no Western modality had ever done that for me.
Right. And had you, and I want to hear when the click came into place when you started hearing the business and how it was registering with you also.
Okay, well, my family has a small background in network marketing. My dad was in Shackley years ago, and I learned what qualified for good nutritionals back when, okay? He worked it very part-time and, you know, was, I can't say he wasn't successful, but he didn't continue in it. He got into Shackley because of his health, ironically enough, and when I look back at history, we were about the same age when we came into very near the same problems, so our early 30s. So I was open to it. I had been approached so many times with network marketing in my life, and it was like, no, I don't want to sell plastic stuff. I don't want to sell makeup. I don't want to sell jewelry. That's not me. What is me is my health. But I know now that I lost my health in order to find the next part of my life and what I was to be doing.
You know, you said something that made a click with me. You have to be one of those people that attract people to you with a magnetic personality, I'll use as we throw around sometimes, because many people have not been approached on other network marketing things or
Correct.
Companies. So you had to be the type of person that is outgoing, and obviously your field backs up again that you wanted to help people.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So you've got that profile that's
right.
really
well,
great.
That's right. But I knew that I couldn't. In fact, the first person that had said something to me about Niken gave me a tape on the business part. And I remember listening to it thinking it was all business tape. And I thought, you know, I could do that if I had my health. You know, that would be right down my alley, but I have got to feel better first. Well, I mean, a week after using products, I was talking to people because I couldn't shut up.
Yes.
There was that part of being a hygienist. You know, we sit there, we've got captive audiences, so we can talk, and, you know, our patients, poor people, they have to listen to us.
Right, and you were already set in a field to help people, so this was just a natural.
Right, right. It was a wonderful plan. My son was 6 years, well, 9 at the time when I found Niken, and he was having attention deficit problems, and that's a story in itself, and I'm proud to say he will have a doctorate in physical therapy in December.
Wow.
And so Niken not only shaped him physically, it helped him mentally, and now it has shaped his career forward.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got his own story.
Yes, he does.
Well, we'll have to hear that. Maybe Vance will want to have him on sometime to tell his own story as an extension of where you were and what fed into your business. And I'm sure he was right alongside of you many times being that age.
Yes, he was. And he could, I was getting my hair cut one time and the lady at the place said, you should have heard Sam out there. He said he did his own wellness preview to this lady that was sitting next to him with a cane.
You know, we forget how our children have learned it by the process of osmosis, and what an incredible education for them. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. Most definitely. Most definitely. So I did the wellness home, you know, after that. I mean, within 6 months, I said I was a transformed person. I felt like I was in high school again. So that was, and now we can fast forward. And I met Ron 4.5 years ago at a dance class. Those of you who know me know that I'm usually on the dance floor when we're at Niken things. And so we were in a dance class, and I was taking lessons with a girlfriend, and she called me that day and said, oh, Pam, I don't think I can go. My back is really bothering me. I don't know what's going on. I said, Lynn, is any good wellness, you know, consultant would do? I said, do you want help or not? And she said, okay, I'll take help. So, you know, we're there assembled for our first time in this dance group class, and we go in, and she walks in, and I take a back flex and jab it down her pants. Ron has this look on his face like, oh, my gosh. So I told him, we looked at him and said, we'll just explain this all later. And she did do the class without any trouble, and she did end up buying the backpacks, by the way. But so afterwards, I was going to briefly explain to him what it was about. And as I'm explaining about the energy flow in the body and all, he says, oh, I understand energy flow. I studied that as part of my martial arts training. You know, I had never run into anybody that was so versed on the whole premise of how this works. So actually then he even showed up at a Nikan Wellness preview the next night.
Wow.
And the rest of that is history.
I was going to say, that's a great start, isn't it?
It was a great start. So, but in the month after that, getting to know him better and finding out that he had a few health issues, nothing that he felt was anything significant. However, they really were significant, and I was sharing the solutions that Nikan had, you know, to help. And he said, well, he said, I understand, I'm game for it, but I will tell you, my doctor told me I will never be off of my medications. Well, the rest of that is history too, Char.
Yes, so that's not a good diagnosis to give a person in Nikan, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. So I want to, I'm proud to introduce my husband, my business partner, and my advisor. He is a master instructor in Taekwondo, and he has a fifth-degree black belt. He's a retired Army Reserve colonel. He is currently the Army Reserve Ambassador for the state of Kentucky. He's been a CPA for 40 years. He has his personal financial specialist license, and now he's, again, the managing partner of McCauley Nicholas & Company, which is a large, large CPA firm here in Louisville. So it's my pleasure to introduce my husband, Ron Barnes.
Good morning, Ron. What
Good
a
morning,
pleasure.
Char.
And I want to introduce you to my husband, Danny Rogers, who, of course, we haven't met in person yet, but, or maybe...
We've met in person.
Yeah, we did, didn't
but
we?
But I'm trying to figure out, Ron, when we met. Do we meet at a convention? I mean, it seemed like Pam was dragging you on a dance floor or something when... It seemed like, oh, we got to go. We got to go dance or something. I can't remember. It was just a quick introduction, I remember.
Yeah, that the dance floor part happens frequently, so that's okay.
Well, that's good. That's good exercise. I've been trying to get my wife to go dancing for years, but I just can't. She keeps telling me I got to go exercise, and I said, I'm not going to get on no treadmill or go walk around the block. I said, if you want to go dance, I'll go dance. That's good exercise, right?
It is good exercise.
Yeah, right. So, Ron, I understand you've been in accounting and the traditional business world for many, many years too, right?
Yes.
So what, had you ever been introduced to network marketing before?
A few years ago I had, I guess it's been several years ago, I looked at it. I had clients that were getting involved in, it was a different company. But,
sure.
And I went to a few of their presentations, not with an interest in learning about the products or what they're doing. I wanted to understand the principle of what they're doing so that I could be a better advisor to them on the financial side so they could really understand some of the aspects of network marketing.
Right. So what was your impression when you first went? How did that...
Well, the organization they were with, frankly, when I first went, I wanted to run. because it was, you know, I just kind of felt like the way it was presented and the way it was handled, it was a bit of sleight of hand with a focus of sell.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't, I don't think necessarily that they had bad products. I just didn't care for the methodology. But one of the things that I did gain from that and kind of looking at it was an understanding of the business side of it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that part in multi-level marketing or network marketing from one company to another company to another company, that part doesn't really change a lot, I don't think, except for probably the support structure and the resources that maybe the company provides for you to be successful. But the thought process of owning your own business and working from home and doing that, that aspect is pretty much the same. So I kind of gained some knowledge there, but I attended several of the NECN conferences and meetings with Pam, and I didn't attend because I had a story of getting over this or getting over that. I've always been blessed with good health, and I never really felt like my the arthritis that I developed was that big a thing. But I would listen to the why when people would be involved in NECN, and it would just blow me away. And somebody said, okay, why are you here? My answer was always the same: Pam. I'm here because of Pam. Not for Pam, I'm not here. But over time, I have, you know, I've listened and learned. And the other thing is that just as a matter of circumstance and the way things, because of some events, I was off of the medication. I was taking methotrexate and Celebrex for my rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, neither of those, they may be good for rheumatoid arthritis, but they're not really good for the rest of your body.
Uh-huh.
And particularly on a sustained basis. And I take ibuprofen. As long as I didn't exceed 16 a day, the doctor said it'd be no problem.
16?
Yeah.
And how many milligrams are per tablet?
300.
300, so that's 3,000? Is that right?
Yeah.
Over 3,000, 20,000 milligrams?
It's a lot.
And so
look at that, when you look at that, it, you know, it was like not more than 16 a day and not more than 4 at a time. Well, now I don't take any methotrexate or Celebrex. I've been on prescriptions now for, 2.5-3 years, I guess. And I take ibuprofen only on a rare occasion. We have 20 acres and horses and stuff, and if I'm out doing a lot, I might overextend,
sure,
a little bit, and so, but I'll take one, take one ibuprofen.
Uh-huh.
So I've gone from I don't take any of those, and taking a lot of ibuprofen to one occasionally,
mm-hmm.
And so and all I do is just the NECN, whole. Of course, we have a wellness home, but I take the nutritionals, but it's all of it: the sleep, the water, everything, but I don't have an issue, and I did go back to the doctor. We're all educated, kind of brainwashed even to an extent of you got to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if the doctor prescribes it, then it's okay.
Sure.
And so I go back to the rheumatologist and whole physical exam, X-rays, blood work. End result was, he said, well, I think you're in remission. And but I haven't been on the medication for a while. He said, well, I guess that's the indication of how well it worked. And then he noticed I had super many clipped in my shorts and a necklace on. And so he asked me about that, and I talked to him a little bit, and he said, well, there's no evidence that any of that really works, but it doesn't hurt anything. And so a year later, he wanted me to come back. I did go back, same story, same exam, same everything, same outcome. And he said, I see you're still doing that magnet stuff. And I said, well, it's more than that. So I went through telling about NECN again. Except now I'm smarter. I've learned a lot. Pam's a great influence in that way. And so I've shared that with him again. Same response. Well, there's no evidence that that really works, but it doesn't hurt anything. And I said, well, there's me. It worked for me. I am off of all that medicine, and all I do is NECN. So, I think that's evidence. But he went from not believing or accepting at all to finally he did have an agreement to at least talk to a rheumatologist that I'd met out in California when we were at a convention out there. So,
uh-huh.
At least that's a step. But, even for me, I look at the business part of it, and as Pam and I work together, I think about the business part of what NECN has to offer. And You know, I've had other medical professionals tell me that it's a bigger deal than I realized to be off of methotrexate and Celebrex.
Oh, I imagine.
And not to take, you know, a dozen or 16 ibuprofen a day. It's like,
sure.
Those are big deals. But I always have felt blessed with good health and never, I didn't have some of the incredible stories that people have shared and the results that they realized with Neacan. So what I try to do now is help people, you know, I share Neacan with them, but help them understand the business part of this.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's great to help people and have that, and that's where a lot of people get started, is just a passion for, you know, how much this helped me, and I want to tell somebody else.
Right. So the business aspect of it, what's one of the key elements that you might make people aware for the business, like to be able to write some of the things off in your home environment type thing? Do it. Is there some?
Well, you know, there's one of the key things in looking at it is that I run into, we go to a lot of the conventions and a lot of the meetings, and in talking to people, whether it's there or just locally, is people need to look at it for the aspect of that it is. It is a business.
Right.
While it's good to help somebody, think of it as a business, and they truly are an entrepreneur in their own business. And so you really need to think of it as a business. And so as a business, what would I do? If I was going to start my business, what are things that I would do to be successful, to be profitable? People don't start a business with an idea, maybe someday I might even make some money. I don't know, but I'm going to start this. They start it with an idea that they're going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, you know, does it take them a year, 2 years, or what point do they ramp up to that profit stage? But they start a business with the idea of making a profit, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing to say or do. And so in Neacan, I think there's a great opportunity to do that. But while you're focusing on growing your business and building it as a business and earning the revenue, you want to maximize the expenses that we incur. And often those get overlooked, and I'll touch on those here this morning just a little bit. There was an IRS publication that it's on the Internet, and I printed it off a year or so ago, and it talks about examination techniques that IRS agents can use relative to direct sellers, or network marketers. And one of the paragraphs in there that I thought was wrenching was that, why are Americans so interested in becoming direct sellers? Most are independent contractors. They have the ability to work part-time or full-time and can choose when and how many hours they want to devote to their business. In other words, an individual can earn in proportion to their efforts. The level of success is limited only by their willingness to work hard. And a person can own their own business with very little or no capital investment. Now, that's right out of an IRS publication. And so, you know, it's recognizing the fact that it is a business. It's a legitimate business. And when people look at it that way, and depending on how much time you want to devote and how hard you want to work, like a lot of things, the level of success is in proportion to that. But
Ron,
people, yes, ma'am.
Just to interrupt you here, since you have such a great position, I bet at the very beginning you've got a great way of introducing that to people at the very onset, because this is one thing that has always hit my hot spot, is the independent business write-off. And to be able to say, well, now if you start out just evaluating this as a business, my understanding is that it gives you the write-off because your intent is to do a business. People aren't going to think of that when they're using or placing their first order. And I bet you have a way of saying that to them to say, hey, I'd just like to know what your opening comment or question is to people when that comes up and that opportunity arises, because I bet you've got the best question of all, or the best comment to move them into that area.
Well, I don't know if I have the best one or not. You know, what I find out, or as I work with somebody, or we, Pam and I, work with someone in their business to get this going, I really think I asked them a question to get them to think, not so much to tell me. And that is, I want them to hear the word about this is their business. How are they setting up their business? How are you going to operate your business? And I just say that word business a few times. I mean, Nikan is great and has a great product offering and helps people in a lot of ways. And we've been through humans being more and the benefit of all that, and that's all terrific. But the word business sometimes almost either gets glossed over or ignored.
Yeah, because they're just thinking about getting relief for their bodies.
Right.
Anytime.
And then I want to share this. I want to share this with somebody. So what I guess, I don't know if it's really an opening question, Char, but I start using the word business, and it's okay. It's okay. This is a business. It's okay to say that. It's okay to talk about that. Think of it as a business. And as you start this up, then treat it that way. How do you keep your records? How do you maintain those records? You know, we work at home, you have a home office deduction. And that opens up a wide range of deductions that are available because we're working from home. It meets all the requirements. It's ordinary and necessary. You do it on a regular and consistent basis. And so you're working from your home. Well, what does that mean when we start looking at our business? We have to keep track of our expenses, keep track of our income. But on the expense side, when we look at home, we have, if we use 10% of our home for business, and that varies from person to person, of course, depending how your office is set up and so forth, then you got 10% of your utilities, 10% of your insurance, 10% of your taxes, 10% of the mortgage interest, all of that's business expense.
Okay, I have one other thing that comes up even that I've thought of that I do at the very beginning, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, because I, for a long time, when people are ready to place that first order, or they say they just want a couple of things, maybe a pair of insoles and a back flex, or maybe just a pair of insoles, you know, this is what they think is going to give them, you know, relief in their feet or legs or back, whatever, I'll say, you know, rather than just order that one thing, just in case down the road you want to look at this as a business, the government looks much better on it if you place an order that looks like you're setting up in business. So let me sell you a pair out of what I have, and then, or loan you a pair out of what I have, knowing you're going to place an order, and then you look at what else you'd like to have, and let's put it together, possibly, on something that can give you a greater chance at having a really good write-off. And you won't even know you're setting up a business, but in reality, you really are. Does that make sense?
Well, and that's a good point. I think often as people start into Nikan, they do not have a background of being business owners and don't really think about the things that are deductible or not deductible, things that maybe if I handle it this way, I get a better tax deduction and treatment than if I handled it that way.
Because if you're using this as a write-off, or I mean, if you're using this to evaluate the business, and in their mind, whether they know it or not, they are. Because when they see the results, of course, that's going to push them to thinking more about it. And is it my understanding that if they place a sizable order to evaluate this business, whether or not they do it long-term, that still is a write-off?
Well, it's based on their intent.
Right, okay.
And so Char, I think where you're going with that is they, you know, intent sometimes is subjective. And so you need to be able to demonstrate that you are in this for a business, and that was my intent.
Okay.
Well, what things do I do to help demonstrate and support that was my intent, besides my saying the words? One of them might be I ordered a business pack And so I have, I'm getting all these products so I can have demonstration, I can show, I can learn. And that's why I did it. That's why I got, I just didn't get shoe inserts. I got all these things so I could do this. That supports my basis for saying that this was my intention for getting in. And so clearly by buying more than just, the shoe inserts or a bracelet or the one thing, and often people, what's the one thing? If you're just going to be a product consumer, I guess that there still isn't just the one thing. But from a business, by buying that business pack, in getting a complete array of products, then you're demonstrating your intent to be in business because you need to learn, have demo products, be able to learn about them, share them with others, and create that whole business model.
So you could actually take, and I haven't gone this far. See, my brain's going around again because I love using this as a big part of the business introduction, end of it. You could take and say, well, you're in a 40% tax category. So we can right now show you that that is costing you 40% less than it would have if we had not pointed this out to you, and you are now going to buy one of the packs. Even any pack would make a more substantial statement as to the intent. So we can just take another 40% off.
That's right. And you can, again, as they go that route, they're building on this as part of their demonstrating their business intent. That's the real key, is that you need to be able to show that I'm in this for as a business. I guess conversely, if somebody just were to buy one pack and their mindset is, well, I bought this one, but I'm not going to do anything except use what's in here. Well, the mere fact that they bought a business pack in and of itself does not make it a business. Buying it and utilizing it and sharing it and having the demo and all those things, it becomes part of supporting your business intentions and this being a business.
Okay, what are some of the, that throws open a door. I've got to ask you a personal question, and you can answer it however you like. Do you take on, since you've got such a great understanding of network marketing now, do you take on other customers to advise them and do their returns for them? Or
I have several Nikon consultants as clients now.
Oh, okay. So
I have them as clients, but I also have others that I've helped that have had IRS examinations, and not just in Louisville, but in other parts of the country. And so they have an IRS examination, and it's because when they have that examination, it's very helpful to be able to explain the business part of this and how it works and what's going on. And if you can explain that to an examining agent, that's pretty helpful because they have a chance to see and understand, okay, this is why and what's going on and how this works. So I've been able to apply my experience in that way of helping them. But, of course, the more of them that I've worked with, the more experience I've picked up just in looking at some things that are done better,
okay,
things that haven't been done so well.
Two more questions for you right down this line. I would like to see you, and I know if Vance was on here, he would be thinking of the same thing, I think, put together a little bio on what you've done with some of them or just some comments and what you would offer other wellness consultants from day one as far as advice, maybe some quick tips as to things to be aware of just in bullet form. And then if you're willing to make your email and phone number available to those people for you, I want people in my organization to have an accountant that knows how to take the write-offs, because way too often they get into their typical CPA that has no knowledge of network marketing. And we don't right now have anybody we're working with, right, Denny?
Right.
There's no CPA in our range of people attached to NECAN that is addressing other people's needs. And if you could do that, and then the second part of that this question is that list you were talking about, would that be something that would be good for new wellness or wellness consultants that are serious about looking at it as a business for them to glance down?
Yeah, there is, and I have shared some of this information. As I've given some seminars here in Louisville, what I have shared is some key attributes that the IRS looks at, just each one in of itself is not necessarily an absolute, but they look at these points to evaluate, is somebody really in this as a business or is this a hobby? And so I have shared that, and I've also got several items that I've shared that are on key expenses that you can deduct. But while they can deduct them, it just takes a little documentation and paying attention.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
The office and home we talked about, there's a lot of benefit there, but travel expense. You know, you go to convention, we've got the convention coming up in California. So the travel expense to that is all deductible. And that's a big, while that's an expense, that is all fully deductible because it's part of our business. Because it's in California, and it's not, some people will be close, some people will be a long drive, that is not relevant. What's relevant is that it's part of our business and it's part of learning, it's networking with other proven successful leaders. And, you know, one of the things that I've shared, NECAN, the cost of entry is extremely cheap. And that was pointed out even in the IRS information that they get out to their agents. It's inexpensive to get in. But if you had a startup business where, let's say, you spent $150,000 or $200,000 to get started, and then you find out that there's going to be a big conference of a lot of very successful people in the same business, and they're willing to tell you how they did it, and all their lessons learned, and they'll tell you, and they won't even charge you for it. They'll just tell you. All you have to do is go. I think anybody that already invested $150,000 would be there in a heartbeat because you want to learn everything you can learn to make yourself successful.
Okay, you just brought up another point because this is what is often given distributors that especially have been in. We've got a lot of people, I'm sure, a very large, good size number on the line that have been in for a length of time, and they have been told, well, if you haven't got a write-off in so many years, you know, you can't da-da-da-da. Okay, my question is...
Profit.
If you don't have a profit, I'm sorry, I misstated that, that you can't use these write-offs. Okay, so is there a point where they could say, this is my intent, I've played around with this now for 10 years, and I've never made any money at it, and my accountant doesn't allow me to take any write-offs. So now I want to get serious. I'm going to go to the convention. Does that qualify that they could then still take a write-off maybe on that because things have changed in their lives?
Yes.
Okay.
There's when you look at the IRS regulations relative to a business, that they have there's a code section that's applicable to a hobby losses. And one of the factors, it's not an absolute, but it is a pretty clearly defining factor, is that you have to have a profit in 3 out of 5 years.
Okay.
Well, if you have losses for 5 straight years, then that's an immediate flag. That doesn't mean it's not a business, but that is an immediate flag.
Okay.
So, and I, you know, recently assisted somebody with an examination, and for every period under the examination, they had a loss. Every one. I was able to demonstrate, because of the facts and circumstances, to the agent this was business intent, but because of circumstances and what had transpired, they had not yet become profitable. But here are the things they were doing to achieve that level of success. And the losses were allowed.
Wow.
So again, the key becomes how you conduct your business. Are you treating it like a business? What are you doing? And going to convention and being around successful people, that is something that any person that wants to be successful, that's reasonable. If a person were to have losses for 10 years in a row on their account and says, you know, the IRS is going to throw this out, they're giving them advice that is absolutely in accordance and following the aspect and the hobby loss rules of the Internal Revenue Code. So they're not misleading their client, telling them right, but because the IRS looks at it and says, would any prudent business person stay in business and lose money for 10 years? And you know, if you just think about that for a moment, the answer is probably not. Well, but let's just this change of circumstance. Let's say that they've never been an entrepreneur. They've never owned their own business. They're trying to figure this business part out. They're getting a handle of understanding NECAN products, but the business part, they're just struggling with that. But every year we can show their revenue's getting a little better. They're attending meetings to try to learn. They've read publications on doing this. You know, if they can show they're doing those things to improve, the mere fact that they have not had a bottom line profit success yet it doesn't throw the whole thing out. But they have to be able to show that they're doing things to improve the business. And some people, you know, it maybe in that journey, kind of wake up one day and say, you know, I really am going to make this a business. I've been doing this, but I really want to commit to making it a business. I'm going to go to the national convention. I'm going to attend. Maybe they're going to go to Rick Murphy's Pathfinder conference. They're going to do things like that to really amp up what they're doing, but they could show the service that. And
why would they not want to be doing it? You know, if you could pull in even an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month, why would they not want to do this? You know what I'm seeing, the clock is just ticking away, and we are going beyond it. I know there's people on the line that would love to ask questions of you, and I keep thinking of one more question. Vance has just got to have you come back and do a call just on tax things. Is there one thing that you could quickly add before we say goodbye to you shortly, but giving people a chance to ask a question? I know we're running over time here. That is often overlooked that you could just give them as a click that is or can be a justified tax write-off and make a significant difference in their income?
Well, you know, I want to touch on a couple of them real quick.
Okay.
Travel expense, people overlook that. Every time you go to a wellness preview, you go to someone's home to show them, you go to a coffee shop and meet with somebody, all that automobile expense is deductible. And all they have to do is write it down. That's all that's required. They keep track of all those miles. You multiply that. The rate varies. The IRS adjusts that. But you just take the standard mileage rate, 55 cents a mile right now, 55 cents. So that's a big deduction. It's not just how much gas you used. That is a big deduction all by itself. The office and home, people forget about that. Well, they have a desk. They're set up. They have all their tapes, their books, but they don't think about, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, it's pretty simple. And if you're working with an accountant, he can guide them through that, but they need just to say, I've got it at my office and home, and I work there. So those are two really quick ones. And then as you buy products, and all those are demo items, those are all expenses. Because as you share a sleep system or water system,
we have to be a product of the business. We cannot have, and I learned this way back when, I could not have in my home, when I was working with laundry compounds with another company, I could not have Tide sitting there. I would not have a business.
And so when you look at that, that's probably a topic for a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
Because the IRS does look at what we consume for personal use and what we utilize or have so that we can show that we are, as you said, a product of our business. But, you know, would not be good to say, well, do you use this? Well, no, I sell it, but I don't use it. Well, that probably won't work real well.
Right, and I know that an audit I went through, and I usually take the initiative on the audit end. Danny does not like them at all. Well, I don't like them either, but you know what? They're a necessary evil, and I'm not going to not take a deduction when there is a strong chance that I'm going to get it. So what they did in my case, and we weren't that far up the line. I mean, we were serious about it, but we just hadn't showed a big income yet. They gave me everything except all of the products that I had ordered. They gave me the full amount except for 5%. 5% had to be shown as absolute personal use. In other words, they were not related to the business. I was just consuming them, whatever. And, hey, we settled on that. That was okay, but the 95% I got to write off. So,
yes.
You know, I wasn't complaining about that at all. We agreed.
No.
We agreed.
And I've had that similar experience in other examinations. So there needs to be a reasonable, that's a big word, a reasonable amount that you're saying, well, that's my personal. So, you know, I always, you're not always, but a lot of times when I'm speaking, there's kind of a rule of thumb that I tell people to follow with their business and using this and trying to judge what's reasonable and what to do, and that is to keep in mind the saying that pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. And so it's okay if you're a pig, you know, and we maybe take advantage of this or that aspect, and that you should take advantage of all the aspects of the code you can. But when you try to become a hog about it and take 100%, and maybe go a little too far and past where that reasonable line might be, you find yourself maybe losing more than because you kind of pushed it a little too far. So, just kind of use some judgment, but I think you're spot on. But if people document what they're doing, just document. Treat it like a business.
And that's not a big issue, but I know you can do it simply and with the electronics. There's some simple programs now, and that would you could do a whole session just on that, Ron. But we need to let you guys get back to your day, both you and Pam. But I'd like to give just a very few minutes. If anyone is on the, is that okay with you guys?
Sure.
Okay, just a couple. Maybe 3 or 4 minutes. If there's somebody on the line that has a pressing question, and you can, and especially if it can relate to a lot of people on there and not too technical, I don't want Ron to have to take 10 minutes to answer one question. So if you want to hit your line as *6, open it up and ask the question, we'll take it. Wow, dead silence. *6, anyone want to ask Ron or Pam a question that they have covered? See, they've done such a thorough job this morning on all stuff.
Either that or everybody's kind of going, I don't know what to ask. You know, one thing I might, if they get a hold of you, if you let me know what the question is, or, you know, email it to Pam or I, I'll be glad to get back to you and give you some information that might help in that regard.
Okay, we will include that in, well, I'll have Vance include that in the next time. It sounds like somebody's opened their line there real quick.
I need the email address because I did not catch it for Pam and Ron.
Okay, you want to give that, Ron?
Sure. My email address is Ron_Barnes, Barnes, @MNC, like Mike, Nancy, Charlie, CPA.com. And those six letters are all together and there's no space or anything, MNCCPA.com. That's mine. And Pam's is Pam, I think Pam needed her phone.
Or oh, I'm on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'll let you tell them.
Yeah. Pam Barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S, R-D-H, for registered dental hygienist, at yahoo.com. And I'll give, let me give my phone number. It's 502-727-0066. And I'll be glad to forward anything, you know, you all send to me, I can forward to Ron as well.
Sometimes we've found that it works a little better if the NECAN caller question when she gets it, because she's able to get it to me, because I get so many from my office that that way it doesn't, those kind of requests, questions or things don't get lost.
Do that once more, Pam, again.
Uh-huh. It's Pam Barnes, P-A-M, B-A-R-N-E-S, R-D-H, Richard David Harry, or registered dental hygienist at yahoo.com. And the number is 502-727-0066.
Thank you.
Guys,
this has been a fun call for us, and I can't wait to see you at the convention and when we can sit down and actually talk. And I apologize for saying, oh, we haven't met, because I know it was so brief. I didn't feel like I really got to know Ron at all. Otherwise, I would have really twisted his ear on all this tax stuff, because I am intrigued. It's not how much we make, it's how much we hold on to.
Well, exactly,
and
right.
And we need these deductions, and we need people to understand them from day one, and you are definitely the person that can make that happen with the knowledge that is going to move people to be able to hang on to more of what they're already earning simply by having a home-based business that they can be serious about on a serious part-time basis. And with the technologies that NECAN has given us now, and all the things that are happening in this field, I'm embarrassed to say, I went in on the website the other day, and the things that I found, I thought, I'm not utilizing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I could be so far ahead, and how would this click with other people that aren't even computer savvy yet, that just a really brief education on this would send them into a situation where they could that much easier develop their business. It's still the one-on-one and person-to-person, and we all know that,
yep.
Belly-to-belly. But we've got these other things that have become as common in homes as a telephone now, and the phone is actually disappearing, and we're using other means of communication. We need to, you know, just because we're in our mature years, we need to savvy up here, I think.
Well, good point.
Anyway, you guys, thank you for spending so much of your day already with us on the line. And I'm going to let you go, but just a great vote of gratitude for your being so generous in sharing your time with us. And I'll let people know how they can get the go in on the recording and point other people to it. So thank you again, both Ron and Pam.
It's a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you at the convention in California.
Sounds great. Sounds absolutely great.
Everybody enjoy their weekend. Happy
Thank
June.
You. Thank you. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.